28, 1 through 20, and Luke 24, 13 through 19. He has risen. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasping his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The guards report. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while you were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." Bah, humbug. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Okay. The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Now in the book of Luke. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing today as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all people." And now this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now may our hearts be prepared to receive this week's message from Pastor Pamela Sheffield. Fear not.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Today, white is for the purity of the risen Lord. Black, sin that was defeated. Gold, the king risen. Rising to the throne. After Jesus died, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pontius Pilate for his body. He took Jesus and cleaned him up and wrapped him in stripes of cloth, linen cloth, then placed him in a tomb that was cut out of the rock. Then Pilate placed guards, and he ordered them to put a big stone around it so no one could come and take the body. Jesus was buried on the Friday of his death, and early Sunday morning, which was 3 days after his death, there was a violent earthquake, and an angel of the Lord appeared. The angel who arrived at the tomb of Jesus was a young man dressed in white. The angel easily rolled the huge stone away from the mouth of Jesus' tomb. Then he went and stand in the tomb. This is going to represent both an egg and a tomb. Now, the way that the chicken broke out of the egg, that's the way Jesus broke out of the tomb. The Romans' guard were astonished, filled with fear at this sight. They fainted from terror. Soon after that, three women stopped by Jesus' tomb. They had planned to ask for his body. When they arrived, the woman saw that the stone was already moved from the tomb. But the rolled away stone was not for Jesus to get out, but that when anyone come there, they will see that Jesus is no longer there, that he is risen, just as he said he would. The woman saw the angel, and the angel said, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus." He answered them and said, "He is risen, just as he said he would. Go and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead." But before they departed, he gave them four messages. He said, "Do not be afraid, brothers and sisters. The reality of the resurrection brings joy, not fear. When we're afraid, remember what Christ did for us. The second, he is not here because he is not dead. So do not look for him here. He is alive. Third, come and see for yourself." When they looked, the tomb was empty. He was not there. But the cloth that was there, lying on the stone. Fourth, go and tell the disciples that he is not dead. He is alive. And he went to Galilee. Brothers and sisters, they were to go and spread the good news, the joy of his resurrection. That is exactly what he wants you, me, and all of us to do, to tell others about him and how he helped us. Amen? The woman left to find the disciples. But before they reached the disciples, Jesus met them on the way again and told them not to be afraid. He told them to go and tell the disciples about what they saw and for them to meet him in Galilee. There they will see him, they found the disciples and they told the disciples what happened. John, Peter, he's alive. He's alive. Matthew.
Why would he come to you for us?
Why not? Oh, yeah, okay. Okay. Luke, he's alive.
You are lying.
Ay, ay, ay. I'm lying. Jesus told us to go tell his disciples, but they do not believe us. They don't believe that we saw Jesus. Most of them thought that women were making up a story, or they're mistaken. It's not that it's a mistake. It's that they did not believe them because they were just women. Woman was not important in those days. After all, we're his disciples. So why wouldn't he come to us first? Peter and John, they run to the tomb to see for themselves if what the ladies said were true. They look in and they were astonished. I can hear them saying, "What happened? What happened? Where's my Jesus? Where's my Jesus?" But they forgot that Jesus told them that he will rise in 3 days. There they saw the strips of cloth that was wrapped around Jesus' body. But Jesus was not there. They saw that the tomb was really empty. Then they believed that Jesus came alive. They too ran back quick to the other disciples. Meanwhile, the Roman guards that was guarding the tomb made their way back to the city and told their leaders that the stone was rolled away and Jesus was not there. The leader gathered and quickly thought up a plan to keep the people from finding out that Jesus had risen. They collect a large sum of money, like what they did, give it to Judas, they give it to the guards, that tell them, "You must lie. Lie." And guess what? The guards were so scared. They agreed to say that Jesus' followers had come in the night and stole his body while they were asleep. Later that day, two of Jesus' followers were walking and talking about what happened. Another man came along and walked with them. That man was Jesus, but the men did not recognize him. Jesus asked the two men, "What were you talking about?" One of them sadly said, "We're talking about Jesus, about his death. But there were some women who went to the grave, and they found that the tomb was empty, that he is risen." They talk about how Peter and John also went to the tomb. Then the unknown men explained to the two that Jesus had to suffer death and rise from it. As all prophets had foretold, still the men did not recognize Jesus. It was later when they came near the village and the two men asked their friend to stay with them for the night. While they were eating their supper, Jesus blessed the bread and broke it, then gave it to them. Suddenly the two men recognized, "That's Jesus, Jesus." But as suddenly as they said it, he disappeared. The two men hurried to Jerusalem to find Jesus' disciples. They told them how they have talked with Jesus and had recognized him when he broke bread with them. But again, they did not believe. We are the number one. He would come to us first. Why would he come to you people and not come to us? Huh? We are his followers. We are his disciples. Like a lot of us. Suddenly, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples saying, "Peace be with you." I can imagine that at first, they thought it was a ghost. The doors were locked. The windows were locked so that no one could come in. And suddenly appear someone in front of them. I guess I would have been a little bit afraid. Who knows? Jesus' body was not a ghost. It was for real. But the disciples, before they believed, they had to touch. They had to touch him. Here we are, and we don't even see him, and we believe. But no, you're the so-called disciples who think you're the greatest, and you don't even believe, and you saw him. Woo! Jesus sat and ate with them. On the other hand, his body wasn't a restored human body like Lazarus. Jesus was able to appear and disappear. Jesus' resurrection body was immortal. This kind of body we will be given at the resurrection of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:42-50 says, "So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is shown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is shown in his honor. It is raised in glory. It is shown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a given spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural did. And after that, the spiritual, the first man was of the dust of the earth, and is the man, as is the man from heaven. As the eternal man, so are those who are of the earth. And as it is the man from heaven, so also those who are from heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." Brothers and sisters, when we are resurrected, God will give us a new body suited for our eternal life. Yes, we will face limitation Those who has physical, mental, or emotional disabilities are especially aware of this. Same. But some may be blind. But they can hear the good news. In addition, they have encouragement that those disabilities are only temporary. Paul tells us that we will be given in new bodies when Christ returns, and that these bodies will be without blemish. You won't have nothing on it. It will be clean. Never to become sick. And to help us not to be afraid that he got us. Jesus got us. And he will always protect us and give us the strength we need to endure. Whatever it is that you got to go through, trust him. Deuteronomy 32:36 says, the Lord will judge his people and have compassion on his servant. When he sees that their strength is gone and nothing is left, slaves are free, he will say, now where are their God? The rock they took refuge in, the God who they ate the fat of their sacrifice and drank the wine of their drunk and get drunk. Let them rise up and help you now. Let them give you shelter like I can. This means we're better off serving the one who gives us life. He gave his life for us. Not a rock. Not Buddha. Not any of those fake gods people are serving. They're not real. The only real one is the one who spilled his blood for us to take away our sins. The disciples were thrilled. But there was one disciple who was not there at the time. His name was Thomas. They call him Doubting Thomas. Thomas wouldn't believe that his friends had been with Jesus until he touched his wound, stick his finger in the middle of his hand, and he sighed. Is it not like a lot of us? Unless we see it for ourselves, we don't believe. But a week later, after Jesus came, he got up, he sat with them, and he talked to his 11 disciples. He spoke on the hill of Galilee called the Mount of Olives. There Jesus told them, I have work for you to do. And do not forget that whatever I tell you, that I'll always, always be there with you, even to the end of time. When he has blessed all of his disciples, immediately Jesus was lifted up to heaven until a cloud hid him from the view of his disciples. The disciples gaze up. Then two men in white robe stood with them. They said to them, Why do you stand looking upward to heaven? Jesus will come back someday, just as he went to heaven. Then disciples all went out and began to preach and teach. My conclusion is, Satan seemed to be victorious in the Garden of Eden and at the cross of Jesus. But God turned Satan's apparent victory into defeat when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Thus, death is no longer a source of fear. Christ overcome it, and one day we will also. The law will no longer make sinners of us who cannot keep it. Death was defeated, and we have hope. Hope, my brothers and sisters, beyond the grave. Paul says that because of the resurrection, nothing we do is in vain. Sometimes we hesitate to do good because we don't see the result. But if we can maintain a heavenly perspective, we will understand that we often will not see the good that result from our efforts. But if we truly believe that Christ has won the ultimate victory, the fact must affect the way we live right now. We should not let discouragement over an apparent lack of result keep us from trusting the Lord or from doing what he tells us to do. You, each of us, he gives us something to do. But some of us don't want to listen. You could be up here too if you listen to him, if he's talking to you. We should always, always do the good we can, knowing that our work will have eternal result. And remember that no good deed is ever in vain. Brothers and sisters, fear not. And know that when things seem hopeless, remember what God did for us. He gave us his only son to come on earth and to die for our sin. Not his. Why? Because he was sinless. All that we have done will be washed away. There'll be no scars in heaven. The only scars will belong to Jesus. Brothers and sisters, Jesus died and rose again for us sinners. But he loved us so much that he'd rather give up his own life. But thanks be to God. He's alive. He's alive now. And he's with us, guiding us and protecting us. Always. He said, I'm with you always. He didn't say here today and tomorrow. Always. And Jesus did not use idle words. He did not talk just to hear himself talk. Not like some of us. No. In some real sense, beyond our comprehension, mystical but real, he does not want us to fear about anything because he's always, always with us. No matter how weak we are, or how humble, or how unimportant. Remember, my brothers and sisters, to fear not, because our fear does not define us. We are his children. We are forever going to be with him. But if you can't trust him, then you won't be with him. He wants you to love him. He wants you never to fear of anything. Whenever fear tries to overtake you, look to heaven and say, God, take it away from me, and Satan, get thee behind. Amen.